Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is a particular honor for me because, let's face it, my presence on this stage is pretty unlikely. My father was a foreign student, born and raised in a small village in Kate. He grew up herding goats, went to school in a tin roof shack. His father, my grandfather, was a cook.
Welcome to Current Events with Patrick Cook. I'm your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 o'clock Eastern. We are the number one resource for small businesses and nonprofits. To learn how you can showcase your business or nonprofit, go to our website at tailormade101.com and click on Blog Talk Radio Affiliate. Once again, it is great to be with you. I'd also like to welcome my co-host to the show, Jima. Jima is the Director of Training at TaylorMade Training and Consulting and the author of the famous Ask Jima blog. To check out her latest posts, go to askjima.blogspot.com. That's askjema.blogspot.com. And today, our very special guest is the hardest working woman on the planet, Nicole Bradley. She has the heart of a lion and the spirit of an angel. Ms. Bradley is an educator, mentor, server, singer, Dr. CSI, mother, and an anointed woman of God. These are just a few of the titles that are used to characterize Ms. Bradley. She also holds a bachelor's degree in psychology and criminal justice. She holds an executive MBA in healthcare management, and she holds a certification in nonprofit management, substance abuse prevention, anger management, parenting, and life coaching, to name a few. Now, currently, Ms. Bradley is pursuing her doctorate in forensic psychology and is the chairleader of the board of Center of Empowerment for Families and Youth Incorporated, an organization dedicated to providing cultural enrichment, educational and case management services to families. Later on in the show, we will be talking with Ms. Bradley about the Center of Empowerment for Families and Youth. So to join the conversation, the number to dial is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. And for those of you listening via Blog Talk Radio, leave your comments. Click the follow button or follow me on Twitter at TaylorMade101. And today I'm also broadcasting live via my website, and that's TaylorMade101.com, and click on live broadcast. But first, let's take a look at our current events. Now, those of you that have been following the show know that I do a moment's of reflections every week, and today's moment of reflection is really about the education system in our nation. Now, this comes on the wake of an article that was in the Wall Street Journal entitled, "Why Chinese Mothers Are Superior. Can a regimen of no play dates, no TV, no computer games, and hours of music practice create happy kids? And what happens when they fight back?" This is by Amy Chua. Now, what's interesting about this article, it talks a little bit about the differences between an Asian upbringing or rearing of a child, and they compare and contrast that to what we call people in the United States, the way in which they rear their children, specifically when it comes to education. And so the article goes a little bit like this. It says, "A lot of people wonder how Chinese parents raise such stereotypically successful kids. They wonder what these parents do to introduce so many math whizzes and music prodigies. What it's like inside the family and whether they could do it too." Well, I can tell you, Amy writes, because I've done it. Here are some of the things my daughters, Sophia and Louisa, were never allowed to do. Now, Amy lists these things that we consider pretty much commonplace in our families, and they are attend a sleepover, have a play date, be in a school play, complain about not being in a school play, watch TV or play computer games, choose their own extracurricular activities, get any grade less than an A, not be the number one student in every subject except gym and drama, play any instrument other than the piano or violin, not play the piano or violin. Now, Amy says, I'm using the term Chinese mother loosely. I know some Korean, Indian, Jamaican, Irish, and Guyanan parents who qualify too. Conversely, I know some mothers of Chinese heritage are almost always born in the West who are not Chinese mothers, but by choice or otherwise. I'm also using the term Western parents loosely, and Western parents come in all varieties. All the same, when Western parents think they're being strict, they usually don't come close to being Chinese mothers. For example, my Western friends who consider themselves strict make their children practice their instruments 30 minutes every day, an hour at most. For a Chinese mother, the first hour is the easy part. It's hours 2 and 3 that get tough. Despite our squeamishness about cultural stereotypes, there are tons of studies out there showing marked and quantifiable differences between Chinese and Westerners when it comes to parenting. In one study of 50 Western American mothers and 40 Chinese immigrant mothers, almost 70% of the Western mothers say either that stressing academic success is not good for children, or that parents need to foster the idea that learning is fun. Now, by contrast, roughly 0% of the Chinese mothers felt the same way. Instead, the vast majority of the Chinese mothers said that they believe their children can be the best students, that academic achievement reflects successful parenting, and that if children do not excel at school, then there was a problem and parents were not doing their job. Now, I'm going to read a couple of more paragraphs, and I'm going to open up the phone lines here to have a little conversation. But it's interesting already in this Wall Street Journal article how the differences between what Chinese parents, again, I use that term loosely like Amy does, as opposed to Westerner parents when it comes to academics. Other studies indicate that compared to Western parents, Chinese parents spend approximately 10 times as long every day drilling academic activities with their children. By contrast, Western kids are more likely to participate in sports teams. What Chinese parents understand is that nothing is fun until you're good at it. To get good at anything, you have to work. And children on their own never want to work, which is why it is crucial to override their preferences. This often requires fortitude on the part of the parents because the child will resist. Things are always hardest at the beginning, which is where Western parents tend to give up. But if done properly, the Chinese strategy produces a virtuous circle. Tenacious practice is crucial for excellence. Rote repetition is underrated in America. Once a child starts to excel at something, whether it's math, piano, pitching, or ballet, he or she gets praise, admiration, and satisfaction. This builds confidence and makes the once not fun activity fun. This in turn makes it easier for the parent to get the child to work even more. Chinese parents can get away with things that Western parents can't. Once, when I was young, maybe more than once, when I was extremely disrespected to my mother, my father angrily called me garbage in our native Hokkien dialect. It worked really well. I felt terrible and deeply ashamed of what I had done, but it didn't damage my self-esteem or anything like that. I knew exactly how highly he thought of me. I didn't actually think I was worthless or feel like a piece of garbage. As an adult, I once did the same thing to Sophia, calling her garbage in English when she acted extremely disrespectful toward me. When I mentioned that I had done this at a dinner party, I was immediately ostracized. One guest named Marcy got so upset she broke down in tears. She had to leave early. Now, I want to reflect on this for a moment. There was a lot going on in that piece. But my position is simply this. Our recovery may involve a radical change now as opposed to later. Here's what I mean. Months ago, there were a time when we were talking about the PISA reports. We were scoring, 35th in math, the 27th in science, and things of that nature. And we talked about the fact that these scores are normally looked at the 4th, 8th, and 12th grade graduation levels. What if we take that data and we project forward, 10, 15, 20 years from now? Well, that means we really don't have a pipeline of people that's going to be thought leaders, in the future. I blogged about this in a piece I called By the Numbers and Sankofa several months ago, but basically scores are a representation of our position now, which means that our children are not possessing the foundation to build on. That means in the future, the probability of more crime and less skilled workers are more likely than not. And it's very, very important because we live in an information age nowadays. So this is a call to action. If you have a college education, this is your charge to make a difference by getting engaged with your community preschool. And this is not a white or black problem. This is an American problem. Now, if you're out of work and have a college education, go volunteer at a pre-K program. We know the African-American struggle in the United States is not one of race but of economics, but for the most part, in order to get on to increase our economic standing in the world, we have to first build on our educational foundation. And so I would love to get your comments on this particular issue. So to join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Again, the number is 323-580-5712. And when we return, we're going to open up the phone lines. We're going to take some calls, and we're going to speak with Ask Jima. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. Be back in a second.
Cook Enterprises have joined forces with Google Inc. and Amazon.com. With this new partnership, our company's tailor-made training and consulting, Current Events, and Ask Jima can now offer you the best deals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're looking for a discounted book for your book club or a very special gift for a friend, family member, or loved one, TaylorMade's Marketplace is where you should go first. Visit our website at TaylorMade101.com and click on Marketplace to get the best deals today.
Okay, welcome back to Current Events with Patrick Cook. And before we take some calls, Jima, I would like to get you to weigh in on a few questions. Now, you heard my moment of reflection piece. I want to reflect for a moment. And before the break, I talked about, where our society is going, or perhaps it may be going. And so have we begun to devalue education?
No. I don't think we've begun to devalue education. I think like most things in our society now, we want a quick fix to the problem. And so we're not willing to really dig our heels in and look at the things that really work as it relates to how we educate our children and how do we increase those test scores, but more importantly, how do we prepare them for life? We're not willing to do the work. It's not a matter of devaluing it. I just think we're not willing to really tackle the problems, call it what it is, and then put in the work to really try to fix the problem.
Okay, Jima, if the PISA test results and our math scores are in the bottom as compared to the world, where does that leave us in the future? And I know we talked about getting ready, but the data shows that we are already a generation behind. It becomes much more difficult to make up the difference when you're at the fourth grade level, the eighth grade level, 12th grade level. So what do we do?
Well, it's interesting because I want to know, was this a progressive decline or was it one that, you know, we just woke up one year and this is where we were? So if it was progressive, that means we started somewhere and then, we started making this decline. What was going on in our education system where we began to decline? And go back to that point, that's where you figure out where we got off track and you fix it at that point. We can't just fix it where we are now. When we were doing well, what were we doing? And we've got to go back to doing the things that we were doing well that made us able to compete globally.
You know, that's an interesting question, because when I think about me and how I grew up, and I'm not going to say I'm a scholar or anything like, the smartest people in the world, but I can say that I do have a graduate degree in computer science as well as an undergraduate degree in computer science and have done extensive study past graduate work. And so I remember the foundation for me was that the teachers were a part of the community. They had a vested interest in my success. You know, and so when I look at that, when I look at the fact that we had a community set of schools and values and things of that nature, and so all of those, I mean, that's just one part of the puzzle. And then the fact that we did a lot of rote memorization, you know, we didn't just emphasize sports, we emphasized academics. When we talked about role models, there were people out there that were, you know, I could look up to. So it was a whole lot of things that played a part of this, of me and my experience in education. So I can't say there's a silver bullet for it.
Right, and I'm not looking – right, I agree with you. There's not a silver bullet, but I think if we go back to the beginning and look at the things that was working and look to decide whether or not we're still doing those things, it would be fairly easy to figure out what's missing. What's missing is what you stated. Kids are up earlier in the morning trying to catch a bus, going to a school that may be an hour or so away, because we have this thing called school of choice. So is that more important to go far away from home, or is it important to have those same good quality schools in your neighborhood?
Mm-hmm.
See, all of these things we started, they sounded good in the beginning, to have schools of choice and charter schools and all these things, and I'm not against any of those, but when we take away the basic and the fundamentals of what made all of our schools good. I mean, I'm from public school background as well. I didn't go to private school or anything such as that. I might not have a computer science degree, but I'm a tad bit learned in some areas. And so having said that, what was it about my community? Well, like yours, you know, my teachers lived in my neighborhood. My school, I stayed across the street from my elementary school where my mama could look out the bedroom window and see us walk across the street and was available. And so it's a whole lot of things that have had an impact on how we're educating our children. What do we value? Do we value just being involved in something for the sake of being involved, or do we value what we're learning from that involvement? That's the question, because there was a lady on one of these shows on I think it was Chris Matthews' show earlier this week, and they were talking about this study, and she was saying that, you know, when kids are playing sports now, everybody gets a trophy. But everybody shouldn't get a trophy. If you haven't done anything to deserve the trophy, when do we get to that point? So we're not teaching kids basic things, and then we're telling them everybody is number one, when obviously we're not, when we're falling behind, you know, other cultures just by large numbers now. Obviously, everybody's not number one.
Right. I'm going to go to our phone lines right now and get some of the people's comments. And right now I am pulling in last four, 7970. Hello, you are on Current Events with Patrick Cook. What's your comment?
Well, I totally agree with you guys as far as what's lacking and what needs to be changed. But I have a question. Who's going to change it? Who's going to make the changes? Who's going to initiate and get us back and our children back to those roots? We're in a different generation now. I know Gemma mentioned it, let's get back to the roots, or let's get back to the way things are. But who's there now to teach us how to study? Who's there now to tell the younger generation how important it is to obtain a degree, even at bachelor's level or master's level, and obtain a degree in something like the sciences, and how important it is, and how important it is to a nation to have at least 60% of our professionals, you know, having a background in the sciences. You know, there's no one that's really, you know, handing that information out anymore. Back in the days, even in African American culture, predominantly most likely in African American culture, you know, it was Big Mama who said, you know, well, you got to go to college and you got to be something out of yourself. But there's also a generation where we're missing an element because our parents didn't know any better, and then their parents didn't know any better. So it's just the idea of, okay, you go to college, you need to work hard in school, high school, grade school, whatever, so you can make sure you get to college and have a better future. No one's telling them what they need to do once they get to college. No one's telling them how to study. So when they do get to college, they'll already have, you know, that strict strategic plan of what they want to accomplish, unless you're just that, you know, the alpha male, the alpha female who's going to grab hold into it because you know you're built for success. Who is it going to come from? You know, what pillar in our community can our children, even our young mothers and fathers, look up to and say, you know, well, I need a model to follow. This is what I want to teach my children. How do I get it done? You know, what organization is out there that's going to help teach that? You know, our golden age and our heroes, the people we look up to, you know, all the forerunners in the educational realm and in the sciences, most of those people, you know, they're dying out or they're getting old and they're no longer giving that support. I'm pretty sure there's still some coalitions and different organizations that do. But in general, especially in the African-American culture, we're missing that. I think as a nation, we're missing that. So my question to you guys, you the host, is who do we turn from that right now? I mean, we're a nation that's really falling behind. It's not funny how far we've fallen behind, not even just the deficit that we have in borrowing money from China and all these other foreign world countries, but in education we're falling behind. We have some 10th and 11th graders in Japan and China and these different countries that are smarter than our college graduates, you know. So it's really a serious issue, but my question now is who's going to help?
Okay.
You know?
All right. Thank you for your call, caller. Well, I'm going to say earlier during the show I said that this was a call to action. And, in fact, I want to challenge anybody out there with a degree to begin to start volunteering at the preschool level. Because it is my belief that, you know, we try to catch these problems at middle school and then at high school. We try to have all these, you know, these great programs, which are also needed. But in order to affect real change, we need to start it in the pre-K level. We need early childhood developmental type of activities, educational activities, in order to really cause change. And what's interesting is that I think we all know this is the problem. But here's the dilemma that we're in. Now, in this 24-hour news cycle, you know, I think the country has more ADD than anything, attention deficit disorder, because it's only been a few months ago when we were talking about waiting for Superman. We were talking about MSNBC did a special on called Education Nation. And but yet, in Austin, Texas, there was an article in the paper that said public education in Texas is facing billions in proposed budget cuts that would include slashing arts education pre-kindergarten programs. There was another article in the DallasVoice.com that said that, and this was by David Tappet, it read, now that the election is over and the campaign ads from the current governor talking about the solid state of the Texas economy are distant memory, this legislature is having to deal with the reality of huge deficits. Former Dallas Independent School District Superintendent Linus Wright, who helped destroy DISD in the 1980s, made a budget cut proposal. He says, eliminate 12th grade. Let me say this one more time. This former Dallas Independent School District Superintendent says, eliminate the 12th grade. He says it makes sense because if most dropouts occur in the 12th grade, he says eliminate 12th grade. With the stroke of a pen, we can save millions of dollars and cut the Texas dropout rate in half by eliminating the 12th grade. Really? Really? And so we're in a position now when we're talking about this deficit that we're in and the fact that, you know, we value education, but our actions are not really commensurate with what we're doing with our pocketbooks. You know, and I remember a long time ago that people can say, if you really want to know where a man's heart is, look at his pocketbook. And so we understand this problem. But if you follow our pocketbooks, you can tell that we're really not taking any action. Now, you're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. I'm your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas. I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time, Flavacock Eastern. Up next, we will bring you someone that is doing more than their part to help out with this situation, and her name is Nicole Bradley. Now, Ms. Bradley is an educator, mentor, servant, singer, mother, and an anointed woman of God. Now, these are just a few of the titles that are used to characterize Ms. Nicole Bradley. She holds a bachelor's degree in psychology and criminal justice. She also holds an executive MBA in healthcare management. She holds certifications in nonprofit management, substance abuse prevention, anger management, parenting, and life coaching, just to name a few. Now, currently, Ms. Bradley is pursuing her doctorate in forensic psychology and is the chair lady of the Board of Center of Empowerment for Families and Youth Incorporated. After this brief break, we'll be talking to Ms. Bradley about the Center of Empowerment for Families and Youth Incorporated. We'll be back in a moment.
Cook Enterprises have joined forces with Google Inc. and Amazon.com. With this new partnership, our company's tailor-made training and consulting, Current Events, and Ask Gema can now offer you the best deals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're looking for discounted books for your book club or a very special gift for a friend, family member, or loved one, TaylorMade's Marketplace is where you should go first. Visit our website at TaylorMade101.com. and click on Marketplace to get the best deals today.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. I know the education thing is a real, real issue in our society. I hope the listeners out there really take on the challenge of this call for actions. So that's why I'm excited to be speaking with Nicole Bradley. Nicole, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I am so excited to have you on. A lot of people don't know this about me, but I used to run a nonprofit organization as well called Etiquette, Science, and Politics. And I know firsthand the difficulty it is to be able to provide services to at-risk youth and to try to really make a difference in our society. So I want to know what drives you? What gets you going? How are you able to maintain this type of activity?
I think, first of all, just being a parent, and Center of Empowerment was built on the legacy of my great-grandmother who raised me. And being that she raised me, I, you know, followed her around, was everywhere. I was at the house when, you know, people would come to her for social justice or come to her for counseling or needing help. So she passed away in 97 while I was a senior in college. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've been in the social services field. I've seen the just, I've seen the unjust, and after 15 years of being in the social services environment, I decided to start my own nonprofit so that I can continue her legacy and try to, you know, prevent the things that I'm seeing going on. So with Center of Empowerment, a lot of it has is composed of a lot of family and friends that's involved. And like you were saying, with nonprofits and you're working with at-risk youth, it's not a lot of money in it, so we have invested our own money and time to make it work.
Wow. So talk a little bit about the services that you provide at the Center of Empowerment.
Okay, the services we provide are anger management services, case management services. We do consulting. We do family mediation. And we also work with different branches of law enforcement and social services agencies. We also partner up with some of the schools as well.
Okay. So what's the long-term vision for the Center of Empowerment? I know you talked about the legacy of your grandma and all of the different life experiences that really catapulted to you to be able to take on this challenge. So what's the future hold for the Center of Empowerment?
One of the things that we're looking at doing is expanding to other states. I've done some work in Texas, and I still consult there on some cases. But we're meeting with counterparts in, like, Florida area, Miami, preferably, because there is a large, undeserved population of abuse and neglected children there.
Now, you mentioned your work in Texas. Talk a little bit about your work in Texas.
Well, I was in Texas for the last 12 years. So my work in Texas, I've done a lot with working with Child Protective Services, and I've worked some of the cases you may have seen in the media as well with them. So I consult on some cases that they have problems with solving, and they'll call me in to review them, and that's where my forensic background comes in at.
Now, you mentioned it. Are you at liberty to talk about some of the cases that you say I may know about?
No, I'm not at liberty to say due to confidentiality and legal issues.
Okay, all right. Good, good, good. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. Today, our very special guest is Nicole Bradley. Now, Ms. Bradley is currently pursuing her doctorate in forensic psychology and is the executive director of the Center of Empowerment for Families and Youth Incorporated. Now, Center of Empowerment is dedicated to providing cultural enrichment, educational, and case management services to families. They also specialize in serving families who have experienced abuse or neglect. They work with law enforcement agencies, social services, community organizations, churches, courts, and attorneys to ensure that their clients receive the best services there is to offer. Now, so to join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. Now, Nicole, this famous author and poet once wrote, his name is John Donne. He said that no man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. Now, I've always interpreted this to mean we are made better by the people that we surround ourselves with, that we make a part of our lives. And with that in mind, talk about the people that are involved in the work that you do, your supporting cast. Who are they and what do they do?
My supporting cast consists of my assistant. I have a CIO, which is my chief information officer, who takes care of a lot of our public relation technical issues. I also have community partners like my church.
Mm-hmm.
They are very supportive and allow us to do some work there. We've partnered up with some corporations here in the local area as well. Because I do believe that it takes a village to raise children.
Mm-hmm.
And I do find that at once I was a single parent, and just having that support of others in the community, that helped me. So.
Okay. Well, tell me a little bit about some of your success stories. I know, you know, when dealing with at-risk youth, there are a lot of different backgrounds. There are a lot of different dynamics that are going on in the kids' lives. But if you're able to provide them the service, you can make a real difference in their lives. Can you talk to a little bit about some of the success stories you have?
Yeah, we will call this person. Her name is Jane.
Okay.
She's a teenager, had some acting out issues, could not remain in school, got several calls. She's been in and out of the system. We receive the referral. And our process is that we get the referral, and not only do we get to know the child, we get to know the family, we get to know their background, their culture, and what things are like. And no one ever really sat down and asked this teenager, why are you acting out? Why are you doing the things that you're doing? Oh, you're just a typical, you know, child. You're just a typical mm-hmm. teenager. And so in our thorough process of our assessment, we found out that she had been abused, you know, by family members, by mom's boyfriends, and, you know, so on. And she sat and witnessed domestic violence and drug use. She wasn't made to go to school or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so with us getting involved, we were able to assess her situation, align her up with the proper resources, stay involved in our life. And when I say stay involved, that means we did an intense plan on her. You know, we meet with her 2 to 3 times a week, go out to the school, find out who else is involved in our life, and we build her what we call a community team.
Hmm.
And in that, she has, within the last year, she's turned herself around. She's making little steps, but good steps. And we rather see you make steps, little, no matter how big they are, make steps instead of not make any steps at all.
Okay,
so we're going to follow her, you know, throughout as long as she needs us. Most agencies stay involved in kids' lives until they're 18. Once they're 18, they kind of disappear, but we follow them ongoing.
Okay. So now, talk a little bit about the demographics in your the people that you provide services to. Are they predominantly male, female, minorities? What?
They are predominantly African American. About 70%, 70% to 80% are African American. It's predominantly females that we work with, and we have guys too. Not only do we just work with the children, we also work with their families as well.
Okay. Now, which means you treat the entire child, which means that you talked about the assessment where you get in there, you ask these, you know, these second and third level questions.
Mm-hmm.
So this sounds like something I could really, really use. If I knew an individual that was, you know, troubled, if you will, I'm going to use that term because that's pretty much what it is in most cases, and I wanted to refer them to you, what's that process?
That process would be for you to call us at 225-308-1263. You can also utilize our email as well, administration@centerofempowermentforyouth.org. The best way would probably be a phone call. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., but I'm on call as well. So normally if you leave a message at that number, it'll send a message to my cell phone for me to call.
Now what's that number once again?
225-308-1263.
Okay. So, again, if I were had a situation where, I saw a child that was troubled, and I would call the number 225-308-1263, I would get in contact with somebody, and then I can start the process.
Mm-hmm. You can start the process from there. What happens is they'll take down some information, or it may be myself, take down some information. I'll give you a call, have you meet me at my office, depending on how critical the situation is, because some people are private.
Mm-hmm.
We can meet on their terms on where they want to meet at.
Because
not only do we do some of the services that we do, but we also work with the state of Louisiana Medicaid Department. So we do Medicaid applications. And the reason I'm saying this is because a lot of times when, for an example, when you have children's services that get involved, to keep them from going into the system, you know, it may be, oh, they don't have Medicaid. You know, they may consider a child medically neglectful. Okay, so I'm going to take your child instead of taking that first step of, you know, let me refer you over to Center of Empowerment. They have some good resources over there going on. They can help you with this and help you with that. And mm-hmm. what we consider Center of Empowerment as your one-stop shop, because when you're dealing with the court system or just being frustrated, period, in life, it don't have to be the court system. You have nowhere to turn. You can call us, and no, I'm not going to send you to A, B, C, D. You can stop right here with us, and we'll make sure that we go through the process with you.
Wow. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. Today, our very special guest is Nicole Bradley. Ms. Bradley is currently pursuing her doctorate in forensic psychology and is the executive director for the Center of Empowerment for Families and Youth Incorporated. Now, the Center of Empowerment is dedicated to providing cultural enrichment, educational, and case management services to families. They also specialize in serving families who have experienced abuse or neglect. So to join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. Now, Nicole, the Center of Empowerment, it's a nonprofit organization under the Federal Tax Code of 501c3.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the best way? Okay, so a lot of people love what you're doing, obviously. I mean, mm-hmm. you're providing a great service, right? So some
right.
people are unable or unavailable to volunteer, or they may just be, you know, in a different state, because we have millions of listeners all over the world on Blog Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm.
How can they provide support because they love what you're doing?
Right now, if you go on Facebook, we do have a page on Facebook under Center of Empowerment, and we normally post there what we're looking for. We accept volunteer if you can't come physically. We ask if you volunteer, if you can put us in connection. We're trying to shoot a commercial now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you got someone that you want to donate to us, or if you're into videography and you would like to help us, you know, you can volunteer your time like that. You can also send financial donations, which also, if you financially donate to us, it's a tax, it's tax deductible for you. Just a little bit of everything. We're getting ready to have a back-to-school rally, and we're starting to plan it now, and it's going to be held July 29th here in Baton Rouge. So as we begin to prepare for that event, we're looking for people to donate us school supplies. If you work for Nike or Payless Shoes, or, you know, any place that has clothes or has tennis shoes, and you would like to recommend our organization for a donation, we would greatly appreciate that. If you need more information on our tax ID number or what, you know, our name or anything, like I said, you can always call us at 225-308-1263.
Okay. Now, obviously, you talked about being in the Louisiana area.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know about the horrific events with respect to Hurricane Katrina. Have you seen a lot of your people that you see, your clients, come as a result of that activity, even though it's been so many years ago?
Not as much, but I would say probably 50% since the hurricane has happened. A lot of people have taken the transition well and either relocated back to New Orleans or they're here. Getting, I would say, maybe 30% or 40% of our population are actually in Baton Rouge due to Hurricane Katrina and Gustav, which was another major storm after Hurricane Katrina.
Okay.
And the thing for me with Hurricane Katrina hit home, because I'm actually from Louisiana, so my mother, my nieces, my nephews, and my siblings were also affected by the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
So. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to come back to Louisiana and move our headquarters here, because there is not a lot of resources here are really people here to explain that when you get in trouble or when there is a need that someone can help you. If, you know, they don't know that, and I believe in educating, you know, our people. I believe in educating them and letting them know what's out there. I've even had my bishop tell me when we sat down and talked about our partnership together was that I counsel people all the time, but I don't know where to send them, you know,
mm-hmm.
and being that I've been in the church for like a year, he didn't know exactly what I did. Just sitting down talking to him, we connected, and now we're able to help, you know, the youth in our church and maybe some of the adult members that may be struggling and don't know where to turn or, you know, because we deal with custody issues as well.
Right, right.
So.
Okay. So now you heard the discussion that we talked about early on about education.
Yes.
And so I want to kind of revisit that for a moment. We had a caller called in, and my producer's telling me to maybe to bring this question back in, is that who's responsible? So, Nicole, what do you think about that question? Who's responsible for the education system, for this gift of life?
I think we all are. You know, a lot of us, and I'm going to be honest, I don't want to offend anybody. Being a parent, you know, I'm held accountable, but also, you know, the community, the teachers responsible, the parents responsible, everybody that sit and talk about, well, oh, the education system is here, is bad, is this, is that, I feel like it's all of us. Because when I was coming up, you know, not just my grandmother was involved, not just my, you know, my mom was involved, it was the whole village. You know, my teachers
mm-hmm. right.
would take time out, the principals, everybody, and I feel that we need to get back to that. And with one of the programs that we offer when we partner up with the schools is that we actually go into the schools and we work with the kids and we get the parents involved, because in order to be affiliated with our program, the mm-hmm. parents have to take a parenting workshop. They have to be involved in what's going on with their children.
Now, Jima, I want to bring you back in on this particular question too as well. Now, the question was posed about an education system and the fact that, you know, who is responsible. What's your take?
Well, I think it is. I agree with Nicole. Am I saying it right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I agree with Nicole in that it is a shared responsibility. But to even go a little bit further than that, and this is my social worker coming out in me and my juvenile justice hat coming out, I bet if we was to do a study and we were to take a look, when remember I spoke earlier about progression and how this time that we went on a decline probably happened over a period of time, I would guarantee that the same time in which we went on a decline educationally, we went on an increase in the amount of prisons that we were building in the United States of America. And so I bet there's a direct correlation between those, and that in itself is a study that probably needs to be explored a little greater. I know Louisiana, probably from my work down there, incarcerates more people than anybody in the United States, juveniles included. And so you have, so if you just take a look at just the juvenile population, we're talking about education, how many facilities was built in that same time frame that became warehouses where we, as Marion Wright Elderman talks about, the prison pipeline. So we probably take a hard look at that study to see as we declined in our education and we began to fall behind globally, I would venture to say that we probably had a very significant increase in the number of juveniles and the number of prisons that was being built for profit. See, you know, that's what they were built for profit. Prisons is big business. And so I guarantee the reason why there's not such a push to really fix the education problem, because there's more money to be made profit-wise from the prison than it is to be made from making sure the kids are getting the education that they need.
Go ahead, Nicole.
And, Jima, I agree with you when you were making that statement. When I worked in the juvenile justice system and I actually worked at one of the youth prisons as a counselor, I was told that you don't come in here to fix them. You know, it is what it is. And that goes back to why I feel that, you know, it takes everybody. Stop worrying about, you know, making a dollar here or making, you know, a dollar there and focus more on our children. So, and then also you have to look at the discipline of it. You know, when it came, oh, pick up the phone, call 911 if your parents discipline you or if you do this. A lot of stuff was taken from the principals. A lot of stuff was taken from the teachers as far as how you discipline, you know, the kids as well. So the teachers and the educational administrations are kind of limited as well on what they can do.
So in a system, we took away the discipline from the parents because now you touch them, now they can call 911 on you. We take away what they can how they can discipline you in school, and yet we are surprised that this is the turnaround, that this is what we're dealing with. It's a no-brainer in terms of one thing it has is a direct correlation of another. The hard part is who stands up and says this is the elephant in the middle of the room and says this is the problem. This is a direct correlation. And who's going to say it with a big enough microphone, megaphone, whatever kind of phone, so that the people that really need to hear it will, which is those people that we've elected because they have the access to the purse string, who's going to be the voice that will speak for those of us that knows there's a direct correlation and then begin to force those people to make some different kind of choices? Mm-hmm. So it is, back to what Nicole was saying earlier, it is a shared responsibility between parents, between communities, between churches, you know, between, you know, it's everybody. And students have to be more concerned about their learning environment as well.
Right. So that's why, again, I was excited to have Nicole on the show today because, you know, the Center for Empowerment is providing those type of services where, you know, the communities fall short, where parents may fall short, or where the teachers may fall short. Here you are, Nicole, in your institution. I know you're not doing it by yourself, and all of the wonderful people that you surround yourself with, you are providing those services. And so that's why, again, I applaud your efforts. I applaud, you know, out of all of the things you're doing, you know, when I read in your bio today, you still find time to provide this valuable and much-needed service to our children. And the reason why I say our children, because it does take a village to raise a child. Nicole?
And thank you so much for that. And with my kids, I mean, they understand. I also put them to work. My oldest son is the sports director. We just incorporated a sports academy for children as well, so he's the sports director. But they've always been there with me throughout the last 15 years, and they understand. It's not, oh, mommy is always gone. Or, you know, they understand mommy's gone to help someone else. But I always tell people, especially I understand you work a lot, you have to make your money, but I always tell people never neglect your family as well. Make sure that you give them some time. So,
outstanding. Again, if you need to refer someone or you need to contact Nicole or anyone on her staff, the number to call is 225-308-1263. Again, that number is 225-308-1263. You know, I would encourage you anytime that you see the problem, you know, get someone involved. These people at the Center of Empowerment are experts in their field. I mean, they deal with these kind of issues on a day-to-day basis, so give them an opportunity. And so, Nicole, we're closing in at the end of the show. I want to give you a few moments here for your final thoughts.
My one statement that I do live by is that, and that keeps me going, is a quote by Charles Swindoll: "We are all faced with a series of great opportunities, brilliantly disguised as impossible situations." You know, if you feel like you're in a negative situation, take your negative and turn it into a positive. We also want you to know that don't feel like just because we're a nonprofit or just because most of our cases are governed by the government, you know, that we have our government cases, we also have private cases as well. And if we're unable to help you, we can lead you to another organization that can. And if you would like to donate to us or give us any advice, any pointers, don't forget to call 225-308-1263. And our website is www.centerofempowerment4youth.org.
Outstanding. Nicole, again, I want to thank you for joining us today. I was very, very excited for you to join us today. I think what the work that you're doing is wonderful. Again, you have the heart of a lion and the spirit of an angel, so keep doing all of those great things that you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me, and I'll keep listening to the show.
Wonderful. We're excited to announce that Current Events with Patrick Cook is now offering an affiliates program for guests, associates, and partners. As an affiliate, you are eligible for up to 25% in discounts for ads, interviews, and social media blasts. That means we put it on our blogs, we'll blast it out on Facebook and Twitter, everything that's associated with the social media. So please go out to TaylorMade101.com and select Blog Talk Radio Affiliates. Once again, I'm your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 o'clock Eastern, where we showcase small businesses, churches, entrepreneurs, and nonprofit organizations. Remember to join us next week, same time, same channel, Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time. And next week, we will have a financial expert on, Larry Johnson. And the month of February, we will be hosting Black Authors in recognition of Black History Month. Until next time. Remember, it is written, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So stay engaged, stay informed, and stay plugged in to Current Events with Patrick Cook.